Wednesday, the 6th of March, 74.
Alderman told the judge he thought the contents of the sealed envelope were illegal and beyond the power of the grand jury and should not be released. Later, Judge Sirica said he would urge the Judiciary Committee to postpone the investigation on impeachment until after the cover-up trial. But St. Clair said he would object to that. The president has done what he promised. He vetoed the Emergency Energy Act passed by Congress last week. Mr. Nixon said the act would result in reduced energy supplies, longer lines at gasoline pumps, minimal reduction in gasoline prices, and serious unemployment. The president said the rollback of oil prices would set them at such low levels that the oil industry would be unable to sustain its present production of petroleum products, including gasoline. And that, said the president, would make compulsory rationing more likely. Mr. Nixon added there are some who have chosen to capitalize on the nation's energy problems in an effort to obtain purely political benefits. The president did not mention any names, but Senator Henry Scoop Jackson is the sponsor of the legislation. The Senate was scheduled to vote on a possible override of the veto later today. In Cincinnati, it was the third straight victory for the Democrats in special congressional elections. But then in California, the string stopped at three. Watergate and all it implies played a major role in the Ohio upset, but it wasn't the only reason the Republicans lost. The Democratic winner is Tom Lucan, who campaigned against President Nixon. His opponent, Willis Grattison, campaigned as hard as any candidate ever to run in Ohio's 1st District. He brought in some Republican heavyweights, including Vice President Ford. Grattison says his loss was just the end of the first round, and he'll be back in November trying for a full-term victory. But the Republican state chairman in Ohio, Ken McGough, said the 1st District has been misconstrued as a Republican stronghold, even though Lucan will be the fourth Democrat in the 20th century to occupy that seat. But McGough said the complexion of the district has changed considerably over the last 5 or 10 years. Lucan says the voters of the 1st District have expressed their concern about the nation and our society. In Ventura, California, Robert Lagomarsino was the only Republican on the ballot against 7 Democrats. Lagomarsino got more votes than all the Democrats combined. All 7 Democratic candidates campaigned on the Watergate issue with ongoing attacks on President Nixon. The Republican victory in California was in a district which has been traditionally conservative, but there are those who say the election in California is evidence that Nixon administration scandals are not automatically winning issues for the Democrats. College streaking, students running around in the nude, is spreading, but so is some harsh reaction against it. There was more streaking at Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. 180 men and 1 female. 4 nude males at the University of Pittsburgh. 30 men and 1 woman at the University of Oklahoma. More in Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and even in the colder climates of New York, Illinois, and Wisconsin. In South Carolina, the legislature is studying a proposal to make streaking illegal, with fines, expulsion from school, and up to 90 days in jail. A state representative in Georgia said the state board of regents should expel 1,000 students if necessary to put a stop to the nude running. And in California, streaking is spreading to high school. Page 2. The oil embargo ends. We're going to have high unemployment and continued inflation. The chairman of the President's Council of Economic Advisers, Herbert Stein, says he didn't think the lifting of the embargo would change his forecast of a sluggish economy. Automobile executives in Detroit are hoping the news of the lifting of the embargo will encourage Americans to buy cars again. Sales fell 26.7% in February. The big cars were down drastically. Oldsmobile off 48%, Buick 44%, Cadillac 52%. Compacts and small cars are holding their own. Some have increased. One auto executive said flatly, however, the end of the embargo will bring a lot of people who have been sitting on their money into dealer showrooms. The price of steel is going up. Jones and Laughlin up 2%, Allegheny Ludlum up 6%, National up 5%. And the Navy is stuck with a sizable increase in the cost of shipbuilding. The new mini carrier will go for $172 million instead of the $100 million projected by the Navy 3 years ago. They're calling those clay tablets the world's oldest sheet music. The discovery of what may be the earliest music in Western man's long history was made at the University of California in Berkeley. If the discovery proves accurate, it will prove that Western man's music originated not in Greece, as we thought, but in the Near East, in what is now Syria. And it may be 1,400 years older than previously known music, perhaps as old as 1800 B.C. The thick tablets were uncovered by French archaeologists on the coast of Syria in the early 1950s. But the writing on the tablets was in the Hurrian language, and no one could translate the figures. But finally, in 1972, Dr. Ann Kilmer, professor at Berkeley, deciphered the symbols in a method similar to deciphering coded messages. Well, it turned out to be a song. In fact, a love song. Music history professor Dr. Richard Crocker learned how to play that song. In fact, he designed a reproduction of an ancient lyre on which to play the music. In contemporary terms, the music sounds like a lullaby, a hymn, or a gentle folk song. But the lyrics, except for a few words, remain a mystery. Saul Yurok is dead. So is Billy DeWolf. Yurok was the impresario who brought the Russian Bolshoi Ballet to America. His name stood out on the marquee, oftentimes ahead of the stars that he was presenting. It was S. Yurok Presents. And then would come the names of such people as Anna Pavlova, Isidore Duncan, Marian Anderson, Arthur Rubinstein, Isaac Stern, Jan Pierce, Roberta Peters, Van Cliburn, Maria Callas. Yurok died of a heart attack. He was 85. Billy DeWolf was best known for his impersonation of the fictional Mrs. Murgatroyd. He played in such movies as Blue Skies, Dixie, T for Two, Lullaby of Broadway. He died from cancer at 67. Page 3. Some more bad news for President Nixon sometime this month. He's going to owe some back income taxes, maybe as much as $300,000. Senator Russell Long is chairman of the Joint Committee on Internal Revenue Taxation, which checked Mr. Nixon's income tax returns at the president's request. Long says the president will owe some additional tax. He wouldn't confirm the $300,000 figure, but committee sources said it would probably be that much. Long said the White House and the president himself cooperated fully with the committee. The people who are running that Patty Hearst food program in San Francisco aren't going to ask for an investigation into the hijacking yesterday. A lone gunman armed with a shotgun hijacked a truck carrying between $35,000 and $60,000 worth of meat. That much could have fed as many as 4,000 persons. But $300,000 worth of food was handed out yesterday to about 30,000 poor people. Still no word on the whereabouts or the condition of Patricia Hearst. The coalition handling the food program won't investigate the hijacking for fear of antagonizing the Symbionese Liberation Army, whose members kidnapped the daughter of publisher Randolph Hearst. In Bakersfield, California, Reuben Belton opened the trunk of his car. He pulled out a rifle. Suddenly, the gun went off. Belton didn't know it, but 1 mile away, a cemetery worker would be killed by the bullet from that misfired rifle. The odds that Merced Romero would be killed from that distance were a trillion to one. There was a police investigation, but no charges were brought. And a hospital in Chicago has put out a call for 5,000 former patients who were treated 20 years ago. They may be running a high risk of developing thyroid cancer because of some X-ray therapy given in the 1940s and the 1950s. The treatments were directed at the neck. They were performed mostly on children for acne, tonsillitis, and enlarged adenoids. Now there is evidence gathered throughout the world that such X-ray treatments have brought about an increase in tumors of the thyroid gland. And officials at Michael Reese Medical Center in Chicago say it's their duty to try and contact the 5,000 or so patients who received that X-ray therapy 20 years ago. In London, England, all's well that ended well. But when it started out, the family trouble sounded as if it were headed for tragic results. Fireman William Phillips found out his wife, Maureen, ran off with one Leonard Wright. Phillips said, "I wanted to murder him." But suddenly, without notice, there was a phone call. It was a woman's voice. She said, "You don't know me, but I'm the wife of the man your wife has run off with." Mrs. Wright invited Phillips over to talk about their mutual problem. Well, they found they had a lot more in common. The case ended up in court where divorces were granted all around, and the man who ran away with Phillips' wife was ordered to pay the cost. And Phillips and Mrs. Wright walked out of the court arm in arm. That's the news. This is Hugh Hill in Chicago, speaking for Paul Harvey.